Dave, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, John, recap where we're holding. I think we finished. Yeah, we finished Perek Aleph, and we're going to start Perek Beis. I don't know. Is anyone following me in the Sefer to make any difference with it? No, Chaval. Okay. Anyway, so it's on Daf Nun Aleph if anybody's going to listen afterwards. Interestingly enough, this parak is called Shabbos Malchus. So you tell me now, we've dealt with that already. We'll see. We've dealt with Malchus, we've dealt with Chiddush. He's gonna, Meshalev, he's gonna put the two together. You'll see some interesting new stuff coming out here. The bottom line is what we came out with from the last parak is the concept of Chiddush, is that Shabbos is Moira al Chiddush. When there's a Vayuchulu and there's a Yishbois, so then we understand that the world was created Yesh Me'ayin, and that everything in the world, and this is more important, everything in the world is just Ratzon Hashem. It's the Gilu of the Ratzon Hashem. Vayi his Dibur, that's not our subject. But that's what the world is. On Shabbos, because of the nature of Shabbos, we'll see, you're able to apprehend that much clearer. In other words, it's more apparent, this is from our perspective, just as a practical approach. It's not that the world ceases to exist and Hashem stops creating the world and everything just goes back to Tov Vabohu on Shabbos, because we see it's not like that. You see, on Shabbos, the world continues, everything looks the same. But there is something different, and you know there's something different. What's different is it's easier to see the reality that it's all Ratzon Hashem. You can apprehend that, you can connect to that much deeper on Shabbos, because that is ultimately what's being Megali, is that Metziut. That's kind of what we ended off with. And that's what he said on just the last parable. He said, "Umar tal yadeha gilui shel Shabbos, the gilui of Shabbos, what Shabbos reveals to us, v'achidush ha'olam, and the fact that we know now that the world mechudash, the Hashem's creating at every moment. As kisa kveido enu rak b'shamayim imal. So now a Kodesh Baruch who's not sitting up there in Shemayim, whatever that is, and sitting on his throne there, v'shchina is enu dafka begvay merim, and the Shechina is not just in the Shemayim." It comes down here. And that's what enables us to see reality clearer on Shabbos. Now everything becomes a place where Hashem can rest, where you can see clearer a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So obviously, to the extent that one purifies himself, the extent that one learns Hilchos Shabbos, gets in touch with Shabbos, prepares for Shabbos, does what Shabbos is supposed to do, but just the ceasing from the Malacha, the ceasing, the Yishbois, the ceasing from our creative act enables us to see reality clearer, and it becomes more apparent on Shabbos that it's Einod Milvado. That's for now, that's a working, that's not it, but that's at least for now, at least to be able to put it into words. We'll see that expanding more and more. Okay, Shabbos Malchus. Shabbos Nikra Yom HaShvi'i Midas HaMalchus. This sounds familiar to me. I don't know if it's because I prepared or whether we've done this. Just if we've heard this, just stop me, because then I was looking at it again this morning. It sounded more odd familiar. I don't know if it was because I don't know. But I don't think we did it. This is where I've marked the space, but you'll tell me if you've heard this before. That should explain that Yom HaShvi is Midas HaMalchus. And as we explained at length in Chelek Aleph, that Malchus is the revelation, the Giloy of the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Ma'yo sod la Malchus haniske u'ma'u magales kveris barach po'elam yosod achidush. What facilitates, so to speak, the words I'm using are more odd, a bit like trying to, you know, like do molecular biology with a sledgehammer. It's the words more crude, but that's what we have. The Giloy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, and the Yesod of this Malchus that brings that into the world, and that which is Megala, the covered of Hashem in the world, that's the Yesod of Chiddush. That starts with the fact that the world is Mechudash. Shal Yadei Yesod HaChiddush, through the foundation of Chiddush, Shabbos provides, creates a sitting place, a resting place, a throne for Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. U'ma'ata ha'olam v'kol ha'shebo, therefore everything now in the world and everything in it, having makadish Hashem. Now everything's makadish Hashem, whatever that means. U'makam ha'shor sa'shchina, v'ashchina k'doysha, ha'nichneses l'toich ha'olam b'roiv hadris v'n'roisov. Now the shchina, that ha'shor shchina, is now in the world in, with all its power. Lo rak she'amira b'toich ha'olam, lo rak she'me'ira b'toich ha'olam, not just that it's lighting up within the world, it's illuminating within the world. It surrounds the world, it's in the world, it's outside the world, it's everything. As I mentioned before, you can apprehend that reality more because that is the reality. That all comes out of v'yachol, that Hashem stopped. The minute you grasp, the minute that you understand chidush ha'olam, mizgale v'poel ha'yichud ha'gomel, then you understand that it's all just one thing. Those two go together inextricably. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, yesh mi'ayin, means everything you see in the world is an achdus. It's all linked together by the Ratzon Hashem. It's all just Hashem. So chidush is what's magale the einod milvado. It's what makes the einod milvado imperative. You can't have chiddush and then there's different things at work here. There's no such thing. If Hashem created the world, yesh mi'ayin, that means there was nothing before the rotzen of Hashem to create the world. And if the rotzen would go away, the world would go away. Because they're inextricably linked together. Okay, so that's a mouthful. That's one big mouthful. If you want to, I'll get you to say it over again, back to me. I don't know if I could say it over with the safe in front of me. About that's the sort we have to get clear. When the world stops, you understood that it started. If the world started, it was a chiddush, then you understand that everything's just Ratzon Hashem. There's nothing in the world that's not Ratzon Hashem because it only exists because He wills it into existence. That's the Einod Milvado. Not just, yeah, it's all Hashem. No, where's Hashem? Everywhere. Yeah, that's nice. But ech, to chiddush. The chiddush is what's Megala, that it must be. I'm saying even in Seichel now, even if you don't see it, you don't feel it, you don't connect with it, but the Seichel demands that that's what it has to be. Okay, slowly. The other aspect we spoke about, Malchus, is that the Melech is Mu'urav, and the Melech is in the world. He comes down here and he functions in the world. That's also via Shabbos. It has to be that someone who mechadesh something yesh mi'ayin, somebody that is able to create something yesh mi'ayin, yamtzit metzius hadova kol rega v'rega mechadash. We've spoken about this a few times. We're going to focus on this more clearly now. If something's created yesh mi'ayin and you see that it's in existence now, it must be that it's being created every moment. It's being willed into existence every moment because the only thing that gave it existence is the rotzon. And therefore, that rotzon has to continue. The minute the rotzon to keep it in existence stops, it would cease to exist. We've been skirting around it a lot in the last couple of weeks, but that's ma'od mod chashuv to recognize that. If you take a tree and you cut it up and you make it into a house, you can leave and forget about that house. The house will continue to exist. But if the only thing that willed that tree into existence, the only thing that brought, that thing into existence was your rotzon, this thing never was there. There was no existence. You willed it into existence. Now it's only kium is your rotzon. If you stop willing it into existence, you forget about it. The thing would cease to exist. Because it has no kium of its own. The only kium it has is your willing it into existence. So we can't do that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what he did. That's the chiddush. That's the toitzah of the chiddush of chiddush ha'olam. Is not just that Hashem created the world, yesh mi'ayin, and now the world's running and it's doing whatever it's doing. No, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, yesh mi'ayin, means he's willing it into existence every minute. B'chol yom oisat tamid ma'aseh b'reishis. Tamid mamash. It's ma'od chashuv that we get that clear. Sharei ha'chofet shu mechudosh, ein lo shu metziut mitzad atzme. Something that's created yesh mi'ayin has no intrinsic existence. The kol mehusa he, its essence is rak rotzon ha'boreh kach v'dibrish kotshalov. The only reason it exists and exists in the way that it does is because that's the rotzon. Then you have the dibu. Okay, we'll see. There's the rotzon and then there's the dibu. Hashem created the world, Yeshmain, through Dibur. But it started with his Ratzah. Nimtza bal kochuch sha'boiru hu atzmoya manik. So it comes out now that Hashem himself is the manik. Everything that's happening in the world is Hashem. Shebekol matzav v'matzav, kol tnu v'tnu, kol shinu v'shinu, kol mehusa v'kimoy. You hear that? Every situation and every movement and any change and any essence and existence of anything, hurak mikoich ha-boira, it's only because of the koich of the boira, ha-mamzi oise bo-ise rega, that's willing it into existence now in the second. And if that rotson would disappear or change, or then that consequence would be seen immediately. We don't see it like that because it's just happening so quickly. We just see it, you know, we see one frame going into the next frame. It looks like a movie. We don't see the film. If you would look at the actual, when they had film in the old days, you would just see one new piece. Each frame of the movie is a new schatzes. When you're watching the movie, it looks like it's just all one long piece of unbroken film. That's how we see reality. We don't see the whole yom isotomic mass abrasions. You get a glimpse of it now and again. And again, you get little glimpse of it. And Shabbos, it's what we're saying here, is much easier to get in touch with that. But that's the metziut, that's the reality, and that flows out of chidush. And that we're seeing now, we haven't seen what yet, but that we see now is something to do with Malchus and something to do with what Shabbos is about. But that's a very important thing to know, even on its own.
Or we can live in with this idea. That means if we think each moment that will be seized, it's like in a plane. If you think the motor, the engine will stop and you fall at each minute, it's impossible to.
You can't think like that. Like I said, we see the movie running. We don't live in the film. We live on the screen in the movie. Nachinami. We can't see that. Tova Bowl and the recreation of the Oilam B'chol Yom Oysom Time at Brachos. First, you have to know that that's what's happening. What are the consequences? Some of the ramifications for us, just practical ramifications for us, but we don't see it, you're right. And you can't try and look for it, because what are you going
to
do?
But if we know, what is the consequence for us to know this process?
I'll show you what some of the practical applications for this are. I'll tell you now. But what I'm trying to say is you can't try and live in that reality. You can't live in the film. You have to live on the screen where the movie is being shot. Because if you try and live in the film, your life's just going to be one just, you can't, the Efsha. Nafon, that I'm asking 100%. You have to live your life.
Yeah.
So one of the applications of this is that you never ever miyash on any situation.
Yeah.
Take health, for example. Person has, God forbid, a certain medical condition that there's no cure for in the world at the moment. One of the ramifications of what we've just said now is that in the next moment when Hashem creates the world new, he could create it with a cure. And if you think that's far-fetched, there was a woman living in Eretz Yisrael who had pneumonia, and the doctors had given her very little time left to live. I can't remember her name. I once even knew who it was. It's a famous Maisa. Around about that time, penicillin had been invented and discovered. And they started producing antibiotics, and the first doses of penicillin arrived in Eretz Yisrael. And she was a goner, it was finished. The family already come, and they were sitting around, they were saying, Shema, it was like pneumonia in those days, you got pneumonia, it was game over. There was no antibiotics.
Yeah.
She got the first shot of penicillin in this country, and she lived a ripe old age.
Mm-hmm.
Today we take it for granted. You got pneumonia, you take penicillin, you get better. But that was one of the applications of this, that B'chol Yom Isotomic Ma'aseh Breishis. Now, it's not that he's creating something Yesh Me'ayin. Penicillin was always in the world. Ein Chadesh Tachas HaShemesh. Computers also look like they're new creations. They're not. The Chochmah and the ability was always in the world. Hashem just megaled it. That's all. So B'chol Yom Isotomic Ma'aseh Breishis means that Akash Baruch Hu is creating the world every moment. That means the next moment it's going to have a different set of situations, different set of realities. Now you don't have panosa. In the next moment, Hashem can create you with panosa. There's that possibility. So I'm saying that's one aspect of this. That the person never has to give up hope because the world's not running on automation, cause and effect. If I was always pushed this button and that light always went on, so what? It could be the next time you push this button, another light will go on because now Hashem wants the world to look normal and he wants it to look natural and he wants it to look like it's working minhagoi because of bechira. If you would see this process taking place, you wouldn't have Bechira. If you would see Ma'aseh Breishis happening every moment of your life, you probably lose your bechira. Because you'd see the Yesh Me'ayin, the Bria Sa'ilam, every second. So where's your bechira there? So Kosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, wants the world to run normal. He wants it to run properly. He wants it to run kamin ha'goy. But we have to get above that. We have to know, at least know intellectually first, that ze lo nachon. Ze lo nachon. There's no teva. There's no cause and effect. The kol ha'kosh Baruch Hu's rots on winning things into existence, and that's why they exist the way they exist. That's what you have to know. Intellectually, at least, even if you don't get it, you don't feel it, you know, but you first have to know, you got to get it. Yeah, then lat, you start getting in touch with it, because now that you know about it, it's part of your reality, it's part of your conscious, and you can start now dealing with it. Shabbos is, and that's what we're busy learning now, Shabbos is a time and a place where you can actually get in touch with this more than you can the rest of the week. Because on Shabbos, you have your own vayishpots. You stop running around and you stop creating and you stop connecting with the outer reality. And then in the inner reality, at the Das level, which is what is given strength on Shabbos, you start, you can't even use the word feeling because that's already not even a, in that Das level where you know that you exist, you start knowing these realities. These realities start becoming more apparent to you. But that's only going to happen through the Das. It's not going to happen, not the Das, not the external Das, what the Vesta calls Hamabata Pnimi, the inner Das. That world where there's no words, there's nothing. You just know what you know because you know it. So that's when you start, this reality starts making an impact on you. And then, of course, that Brocha, that Kedusha of Shabbos spreads into the whole week. In other words, now the week looks different because of your understanding or your apprehension, that touching that reality on Shabbos. So now you're a little bit different going into the new week. And therefore, the things you're grappling with the week are going to be, hopefully, are going to be a little bit different. Not, I mean, just from experience, we know it's not humongous different, but each situation that comes on, you're able to deal with it a little bit better because you have a little bit more imuna in the reality of Yesh Me'ayin. That's how it manifests practically. But you're out. In the etzem of it, you can't go there. It's impossible. How are you going to go to the Tzimtzum and the Kav and my Sabreshis and Echani Gielo Shaman? I can't. They don't let you into the room where the projector is and the light's shining through the film. They show you the picture on the wall. That's what we see. But if you think the picture on the wall is real, then you're in a lot of trouble. We have to know that the picture on the wall is Hashem's light shining through filters that Hashem put into place to create a reality which is just Kuli His Rotzon. Has no intrinsic existence. It's Rotzon Hashem. That's what gives it existence. And Hashem can change His Rotzon whenever He wants and change reality whenever He wants. And you see that when Hashem wants to bring about a change in the world, sometimes even a global change, He does it very quickly. We saw it with Corona. I mean, I'm sorry to keep going back, but Hashem gave us that. Corona happened. I mean, from our perspective, I'm not saying it was around 20 years before somebody said it and there was a collusion and there was a conspiracy. I need a little bit of the bells to there. I'm just talking about the way the way our lives changed. It was very quick. Very quick. From Purim to Pesach, our lives changed. Whoa, big time. And Hashem created not just my life and your life. Hashem turned the world upside down and inside out within the space of a few days. When communism ended in Russia, if it ended, I don't know, whatever, but I'm saying they say that it ended. Okay, I'll take the word for it. But when communism ended in Russia, it was within 3 days. Something that took, people went to war and fought and millions of people died and whatever. But when Hashem decided it's enough, in 3 days, boom, it was gone. Hitler Yamach Shmoy also. He fizzled out in it was very quick in the air after something that had been developing and building for long and looked like it was going to carry on forever. And when Hashem decides it, it goes very quick, very, very quick. As we get closer to Mashiach, so it's going to get quicker and quicker and quicker. And we see that. We see changes happening in the world. Whoa. But that's Hashem. That's Ubechol Yom Oysa Tomid Master Breshis. Fine. Tov, let's plug a little bit. Odd palm, that's why it's good to do this. You learn a bit, you see some new ideas, you play with them, you work with them, you think about them through the week, you're going to Shabbos. And then slowly, slowly, look, when we first started learning Malchus, we don't know what we were talking about. Now we have some sense of how that manifests, how that connects to Chiddush HaOlam, and now we take the next step. You like we said the other day, you mitasek with things you can't understand. But you don't, because you can't understand them, you ignore them. You mitasek with them, and then slowly, slowly, you start, if you have patience, you start connecting with them, and you start understanding the reality of them. And then you take the next step. That's the whole of learning Torah. Everything in learning Torah is like that. But you're right, a person has to try and find some practical connection in his life to the things you're learning. Otherwise, they're just nice theoretical, mystical, beautiful ideas. But there has to be a Lilmud Almanas Lasos. Shabbos has to look different. The week has to look different. Even if no one notices it, but you have to be able to see that there's something different here, even if it's tiny. Okay, so that's every shino, every movement, every change, or even growth. You said apple growing on a tree. That's not just because apples grow. Why do apples grow on the tree? Because they take nutrients from the roots and they get light and sun and photosynthesis and they get that and then they grow. What do you mean? No, growth is a thing called change, and every change is taking place. Every new molecule, every cell split, every whatever's going on in that unbelievable factory called an apple is Ratzon Hashem willing it into existence. And when it starts rotting and decomposing, zegam, the Ratzon Hashem, because decomposing and rotting is also not just a natural process. It happens all the time, automatically, so to speak. It looks like it's happening automatically, so we find a cause and effect for it. We find big fancy names for it. But that's nonsense. At the end of the day, there is no teva. It's all Hashem willing it into existence. That's what we need to know. Now, when you look at an apple growing on a tree, you don't see the Ratzon Hashem willing it into existence. Of course not. You just see an apple growing. And you see the chemical reactions and whatever taking place when you put that process under microscope. But we need to know, that's the moshel I told you that Rav Dessler brings with the skeleton sitting up in the keva being exactly the same as a tree growing. If it only happened once, if an apple only grew once, you'd recognize the miracle in it. But it happens all the time, so we find natural causes for it. It's the moshel of the Maggid of Dubno. He said the moshel for this is the famous archer. He said he could always hit the target, always hit the bullseye every time. From 50 meters, 100 meters, Loma Shane, he shoots an arrow, it would always hit the central thing, the bullseye, that's what you call it. I don't know what you call it. The bullseye, the target. So every time, never miss, never miss. How do you do that? That's impossible. So you know the famous marshal, he shoots the arrow and then he paints the target around the arrow. So the Dubno Maggid said, that's this. You look at nature and then you see how nature works. That's not Torah. We look in the Torah and the Torah tells us the nature is that way because that's what the Torah says it has to be. Not we look at nature, Chazal looked at nature, now they're so clever they understood how an apple grows. No. Hashem looked in that Torah and the Torah told the world that's how an apple grows. Because they're kula nes, they're kula rotzon Hashem. That's the difference between shooting the arrow when the target's up already or putting the arrow in and then painting around it. That's what the scientists do. They look at the way things are and then they find a way to explain it. We don't look at that. We look in the Torah and the Torah tells us it's like that because that's what the Torah demands that it should be like. It's a completely different approach to reality. Anyway, so everything we see happening in the world, all the changes, the growth, the essence of everything is kulu kulu Ratzon Hashem. And if Hashem would remove his hashgacha from this for one moment, it would cease to exist. It wouldn't become tov v'bol, because tov v'bol is also a something that has to be willed into existence. It would just cease to exist. It would be coming pre-maisa breishis. Nimtza she'im u'chai, it comes out if something lives or somebody lives. That's because Hashem wants him to be alive. If I'm alive now, I mean, Hashem wants me to be alive. That's what a birthday is, no? I don't know, somebody said it. It's brilliant. A birthday is celebrating the day that a Kodesh Baruch Hu said the world can't function without my existence. That's what a birthday is. It's remembering the day that Hashem said, hey, this guy has to be in the world. Otherwise, the world can't carry on. Why were you born? Because Hashem wanted you to be born now. He willed you into existence on your birthday. So that's what a birthday is. It's celebrating the day that Hashem said the world can't function without me anymore. I need to be here now. It's really nevro ilo. The Moedic approach to birthday. Anyway, so that's the yisod. If you're living, it's because Hashem wants you to live. If there's trees growing and the wind's blowing and there's birds tweeting, and that's all because that's the Ratzon Hashem. If your feet work, you walk, you sit, you stand, you talk, they're called Miratzon Hashem. Your right turn, your left turn, everything's a call Mikoy Chaboyra. And therefore now, Hashem is ruling everything. There's only one place where Hashem doesn't rule. We'll discuss that. We'll end with that. But there's only one place where Hashem doesn't rule, and that's where you have Bechira. It's a miracle that Hashem is able to remove his Ratzon from something that exists. We can't understand that. Bechira means you can do something to negate the Ratzon Hashem and still exist. That, based on what we just said now, that's impossible. That's completely impossible. You can't have something that's against the Ratzon Hashem and exists, because the Ratzon Hashem is what makes it exist. If it's against the Ratzon Hashem, it ceases to exist on the spot. That has to be based on what we've just said, correct? There's nothing other than the Ratzon Hashem. So how could you do something that's connected to the Ratzon Hashem? You can't. Ah, but we have a thing that's called Bechira that lets us go connected to the Ratzon Hashem and continue to exist. Okay, that's impossible. You're right. That's the miracle of Bechira, and that's something that Hashem is able to do. So that's the only place where Hashem, HaKobid HaShemayim Chutz Mirushamayim, that's where Hashem, we don't understand that, but that's how Hashem gives us Bechira. Not that's how, but we have Bechira. But outside of our Bechira, there's nothing other than the Ratzon Hashem. So that's the reality. That's the reality of that. And that's a very powerful thing to remember. That means klape mi, I'll just tell you a Musa application of this. It means when you go into a room and there's other people in the room, klape mi, you have to assume that nobody else in the room has Bechira except you. Because everything outside of your Bechira is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. That means he's got Bechira, but klape me, he doesn't have Bechira, because he's just Ratzon Hashem. That brings you to that fascinating discussion. You understand now the depths now a little bit better of that fascinating discussion that Tet spoke about in the yeshiva a while back, and that we've mentioned a few times, is that can my Bechira affect you? How does my Bechira affect you? Okay, that's now you understand the depth of that question a little bit better. Because if you say my Bechira can't affect you, then I don't really have Bechira. But if I do have Bechira and I can affect you, well, then it means that it's not all Yesh Miayin. There's a dilemma there, a big dilemma. It's not such a question. Well, so what difference does it make? No, there's a mamash mahuti, that question. Can my Bechira affect you? And how does it affect me and whatever? Okay. But putting that aside, putting that complex discussion aside, essentially you have to assume when you go into a room that you're the only person with Bechira. Makes life a lot easier and a lot more pleasant. Because now you're not dealing with him, and he's not a nudnik, and he's not a pain, and he's not a... That's the Ratzon Hashem, and that's what Hashem wants me to be dealing with now, and then I'll deal with it. That's hard work, though, but that's a Musa application of this. Okay, there is a kasher. This is a mod kasher, but I think we're getting something out of it. I think for me, for sure, it's been very good. So shkoyach for coming.
Shkoyach. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
And you, I'm not sure what's happening with me. My car broke down yesterday, and it's now being grabbed to the mosach, whatever. I don't know what's going to be. I mean, I've got to try and get in on time. If there's a problem with the Shabbos, we'll try and send a message. Maybe I'll have to give this the 9:30 vad on Zoom, and I don't know. We'll have to see what's going to be. I don't want to use that because I want to get in. But watch, if you don't hear anything, then it's business as usual. But I may have to, I don't know. I'm just starting to grapple with the problem now.
Okay.
If you're ever going to get stuck in a car, don't do it the way I did.